apology for being late. I was in a very difficult meeting, which I had to leave the next point of speech. It is a crucial issue. My apology. I always believe that if it doesn't start at the appointed time, some results will be achieved very soon. So I expect time to be more. My agenda, what I remember for me, is about the normal welcoming, apologies, adoption, greeting by the government on the PA, written on the session plan, looking on the right hand, that's the problem we have. Marat, I can't put it before you so that we can start working. I've already done welcome. Can you go to apologies?
Thank you very much, President. Good morning, President, honorable members, the Deputy Minister, and departmental officials. And I received a couple of apologies. One is from Member Mpambo Sibugwana and Member Sukers, who indicated their unavailability due to prior commitments. Another one is from the honorable minister, who's out of country. He's part of delegation attending the Nairobi summit commemorating the 25th anniversary of the International Conference Population, starting yesterday until the 14th of November. Thank you very much for the opportunity to listen. Thank you.
No, Chair, I thought I was going to give the Honourable Ambassador one apology, but also that I would like to be excused at 12 o'clock.
I understand you,
yeah. Chair, similarly, I could also be excused at office 12 if we are still there.
Thank you.
Yay.
If we don't appoint at the general, you look restless. Why are you leaving the meeting? If you don't play, you don't play that. I'm available. Okay, all right. You reject my offer of fire. Maybe it would be decent to do what I was supposed to do a formal just welcome to the minister of the meeting. We've been doing lovely things before the event, but next time I want to be invited, whether I'm here or not. I watch that thing with everything as well. Whatever name you call it. All ages, non-racial, all ethnicities in one port. I still don't understand people don't celebrate the opportunity of ethnicity being in one calabash. It's one lovely thing. The only way we can work together is by having more times together until we understand one another so that we can go beyond and pass the territory of motive towards one another. So you welcome it, Minister. We've been watching your work. Thank you. Now, we go straight to the bill. Remember, honorable members, we said we have to work differently. If the bill is the reason why we're in this situation, we must change the tune. Let's start a new gear, legislative gear. because you can't even go to the court and say to them, we apologize, please extend, when the legislative process is not in place. Remember, we've been advised and we've accepted that advice that whilst the children's amendment bill is key, with all the 300 and something clauses that are supposed to be amended, experts are advised that that won't take 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and so on. What it seems to be agreed is that if the social bill, which is implementable within a short space of time, is in place, it can resolve a lot of other things. That is the spirit on which we are moving. One, we know that the primary problem is changing the law. That is where we are now. The department, there's a process plan. There's a legislative process plan which you might talk about, which where this is contained. Maybe we'll need some time to talk about it when we do the program at the end.
Yes.
Okay. Deputy Minister? An African welfare on just any hand. In Nobo Africa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, and good morning. Team Social Development. Without taking a lot of the committee's time, I just want to indicate and highlight two or three things. Chairperson, that the Social Assistance Act, we're happy to resuscitate it, and we are hoping and praying that you will keep it alive within the time frame so that it doesn't lapse again. Because if we adjourn before you really interact with it, we must resuscitate it again next year. So we are here to ask for the committee to actually assist us to deal with this bill. And also to say the second thing is that, Chairperson, the amendments that we are bringing are more administrative and technical. They're not necessarily going into the actual content, so I'm hoping that will be taken into consideration as well. And the last one is indeed, if we pass the bill, within the time frame that the committee will set for itself, we will be in a position to address a number of things and create an environment that will not only enable us to provide better social security, but that will enable us to reach more as we fight poverty, but also to create security for children that are raised by their own families. And that for us, Chairperson, is at the heart of this particular amendment. Because the two other amendments are administrative, which is the inspectorate. We want to make it an inspectorate and not a department, as was initially drafted. And I must admit, I was one of the drafters that drafted the original bill of the Social Assistance Act. I was serving on the portfolio committee when we drafted this bill. We are responsible for the gaps. I can take credit that at that time we needed a department because we were combining 9 different pensions from the homeland, and we felt the inspectorate must be big. So, yes. So we're requesting so that we are able to roll out the inspectorate on time and faster as you need us to, if you can enable us, so that it's smaller but it begins to focus on issues of investigation, because even then, that's what we wanted. We wanted an entity that will process cases faster on time, but focus as well, so so that we manage the fraud that is happening in SASSA, both by humans but also quality assurance in terms of systems administration. So that's the second part, Chair, is the most important. We know it's a fact. When my sister dies, I take the children. I don't go. Those children never appear before any court. They are never processed through any foster care system. They are never adopted. They are mine. But the burden of looking after them is what is making families disintegrate. So in the spirit of strengthening families, in the spirit of providing support for those families that would look after their own, but with a little assistance, that's what we are bringing here, at that top up. In the original act, we called it the kinship care. That is children that are being looked after by their family members. So we are asking you to assist us, because that will really fight child poverty, but it will also reduce the burden on our foster care grant system, but also reduce the burden on the adoption, because now we will reach out to look after our own, because we will get some assistance, because we're struggling with our own poverty. And the last point, Chairperson, is it's the technical amendment of the realignment of the Act itself in terms of different clauses for administrative implementation purposes to enable us to align the decisions that have been taken. I will come back, Chair, when we come to the second agenda item, but I thought the background of these three amendments, these are the three amendments that we are bringing, and we are hoping that the committee can take the presentation. I'll talk to the second agenda item when we start with it. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
My assumption is that in the bill, the current existing clause are just opposed with the newly added. Okay. We're in your hands.
So we'll hand over to Brenda to take us through their presentation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Was
there
honorable member for the portfolio committee? DM has already given quite a comprehensive explanation of the bill, so I will not go into a great deal of detail. Are you hearing me now? Okay, I will do that. Can't hear me. All right, I will do that, Chairperson, thank you. The bill has three key elements to it, three primary elements. The first one, which DM described, is about primarily looking at extending the child support grant. It's based on a policy that was approved by Cabinet in 2016. The other element of it is also to begin to regularize the practice that is already in place of providing an additional amount for the older patient's grant. So the formulation of the bill is to make sure that those two things, there's an enabling clause that enables the minister to do that, hence the need to empower the minister with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance to make those additional payments for social grants. And I'll go into it a bit more in the next few slides. The second...
Sorry. you must forgive me. Can I make this proposal? If you call it an amendment, it is an intervention. You must say first before you call it an amendment. It's not a proposal. Currently, this is how the clause is. In the manner it is now, these are the challenges.
Okay.
The amendment is coming in to 286. You will find that there will be less questions.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. With regards then to the first provision, the current legislation as it stands makes provision for all the different grants and specifies the circumstances under which those grants may be given. So each of the different grants, then the regulations determine the different amounts that may be given and the criteria under which those amounts may be given. The gap is that as you are all aware, there is a problem with our foster child grant system in that it requires, the current legislation requires that for SASSA to give a foster child grant, the child applicants must be, they must be able to produce a court order that says this parent is a foster parent. So in the absence of that foster order, foster care order, SASSA is not supposed to give a foster child grant. And in terms of the foster child legislation in the Children's Bill, the provision there is that all foster child orders must be reviewed every 2 years. So the result of that combination of issues is that whenever a foster parent is in place looking after a child, they are subjected to this 2-year review. And SASSA is unable to give foster child grants in the absence of that review. So the burden, therefore, is given the extreme levels of poverty in the country that we have, And the high number of orphans that are in the country, all of them end up clogging now the foster child system because they all have to go through the court process, which requires them to get the court order in order for them to access the grant. And the difficulty with that is because of the 2-year review, then every 2 years they keep coming back into the system for the court to review, and that causes a huge burden on the whole program of foster child provision. The implementation of this provision, therefore, is intended to say, let's reduce the burden on the foster child grant. The reason many people approach the court for the foster child grant is because it is a higher amount of money than the child support grant. And many, when you give the foster child grant, the intention was not for it to be able to deal with all of the children that are, it was only meant to deal with children that are in need of care. Children that are in need of care are those who do not have family to look after them. But in the way that we operate in South African society is that when a child from my family dies, my sister's child or my sibling's child dies, I take on that child. But given my own financial situation, it might be difficult for me to be able to support and look after that child. So I'm forced then to apply for the foster child grant, even though I don't want to foster the child, they are part of my family. So the intention of this is to remove that burden on those families who are taking on their own family children to look after for themselves, to reduce that burden for them and give them additional financial support. Understanding that the child support grant is a small amount of money, it's intended to be to support actual parents who may not have the means to look after their own children. There's a difference in that sense, but the child support grant is meant for children who have care, but the parents don't have enough money to be able to look after them, hence the means tax. So the idea with this one is to say, let's not make all families that take on the care of their siblings' children also save this smaller amount of money. Let's give them an additional amount of money, but not put them through the 2-year review of the foster child system. Let's reduce that burden on the system by creating an intermediate grant to deal with that problem. That's the idea of that provision. So we presented it in a fairly open-ended way to say we want to empower the minister with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. Of course, the Minister of Finance must agree for the additional grant so that there will be an additional amount of money, which is just the top-up of the child support grant for only children who are orphans and not for all the other children who still have their parents in place. That's the idea of that provision. It's very onerous for them. Yeah. And it's onerous for the system also, the foster child system.
Chairperson, you're also separating the siblings.
Potential.
That's also part of the problem.
Can you see how important it is to do that? Because I will have an amendment, you don't know what it's going
to do. Yeah, okay, I understand.
Okay.
All right, Chairperson. So that's the first key provision. The reason we're talking about that regularization of the older person's grant is that currently the legislation, we don't have an enabling clause in the primary legislation to allow the department to be paying an additional amount for older persons above the age of 75. We are doing that practice primarily because the tax system was amended to give slightly higher tax rebate. Thank you, the language was left. The tax rebate for older persons in the tax system there's a slightly higher amount allocated for people above the age of 75. So we just wanted to match that. This makes it now empowers the minister to also do those two things. And then the second amendment is about the appeals tribunal. Currently, the department has an appeals tribunal which is responsible for dealing with all appeals against SASSA decisions. So anytime somebody applies for a grant and SASSA does not give them a grant and they want to complain, the present requirement is that they must go to SASSA and ask SASSA to reconsider the original decision. And the legislation makes provision that must be done within 3 months or 90 days. If SASSA continues to say after the 3 month period, we still will not give you a grant, then the complainant has a right to then approach the appeals tribunal. The appeals tribunal has another 3 months in which to consider the appeal and make a ruling on it. The effect of this is that anyone who's unhappy with a SASSA decision ends up in a period of 180 days for them to have their problem resolved because of these two processes. What we have found is that it's not necessary. The extent to which SASSA's decisions are reviewed by the tribunal is very minimal. Currently, there's 98% correlation between SASSA's reconsideration process and the department's tribunal process. So in many cases, what all it does is just to delay the process for the appellants. In that sense, we are recommending that the reconsideration requirements that is based at SASSA should be removed, so that anyone who is unhappy with SASSA decisions can just go directly to the appeals tribunal, which will then shorten the time for the appeal to be dealt with into a 3 month period instead of 180-day period. That's the second provision about the removal of the reconsideration provision. The final provision is that we want to facilitate the establishment of the inspectorate. At the inception of the legislation, the social assistance legislation, an inspectorate was envisaged, but that inspectorate did not get activated, did not get implemented. And the legislation makes provision for a department, the inspectorate to be a department. And clearly, in terms of the functioning of the inspectorate, it doesn't have policy-making functions. It primarily has to do with the fraud investigations and dealing with complaints and also audits of SASSA activities. So those functions do not necessarily require a big departmental structure. We are therefore proposing that it should rather be a government component rather than a department. Those are the three provisions those are the primary provisions in the legislation. The rest of the presentation, Chairperson, having explained all of that, actually becomes moot. It was going to go through all of those things. Yeah, that was very efficient.
For summarizing me. Tell me for that. Because what you have done now, you have presented the entire bill. You have given each provision the background and why this particular intervention. What are you trying to loosen up? Eliminating all the factors that constitute and make the process onerous, shorten, make smooth, ease the pain. Right? Honorable members, see your hands. Honorable Master, Honorable Rams, Honorable Nguyenia. I like this military way of moving. Honorable Masa, Honorable Nguyen, Honorable Abraham, and who else? Going, going.
Thank you, Chair. I think one has to thank the department for the presentation and how clear and straightforward it was. I just want, for purposes of the introduction having mentioned that this is an intervention for the foster care grant system backlogs and things. I just would like a slide's worth of the linking of this to say what then happens, because we still have a deadline of the 28th of November. I just need to be comfortable with how I, and I've seen what, yes, how does it you know, help us as politicians as we try to explain the situation. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. It was sweet and short. I just need to find out, Chair, that in respect to the inspectorate, what are the terms of reference of this? Who compiles the terms of reference? You know, I just need to understand and be able to understand the roles and the duties of this inspectorate. The Deputy Minister mentioned something about making it smaller and that it is an investigative arm of some sort. So if you can just elaborate on that and just, also make it clear on the terms of reference, the duties, who compiles those terms of references, in terms of accountability, who do they report to, and all those things. And I also needed to find out in terms of the bill itself, because as far as I understand, it is the shortest and the quickest, right? So is it possible, what are the possibilities in your knowledge and in your expertise that this bill will come into effect by, when will it come into effect by exactly, and how soon in terms of your department will you be able to help in terms of the minimizing the issues of the foster care grant, and what can you put a number, if you can, on the reduction, how many cases do you think will be able to be taken out of the foster care system because of this bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My questions are as follows. Because the foster care is R1,000 and the child grant is less, people who are desperate are going to be more inclined to apply for a foster care grant over the R420. What is SASSA going to put in place then to restrict these people from then applying for the foster care grant instead of, for applying for the child support grant instead of the foster care grant, in order to now prevent them from clogging up that system? So what preventions are you going to in place, impose on people when applying? Also, I think it's to be careful when we make generalizations, like we take in our family's children. Maybe everybody in this room will take in their brother's child, and we almost probably do it for free. We wouldn't ask for anything. But out there, some people can be really, really cruel, and they'll be more cruel when they're desperate, when they're hungry, etc. And out there, when they take in their brother's child, their boyfriend might be even cruel on that child because they're not receiving a higher income for that child, and at the end the child suffers. So I think that we must be very careful when we say that families automatically will take in relatives' children in that sense. And then on the inspectorate, are we not, by bringing it into the department, removing a certain check and balance by keeping it separate? And also from our... On the inspectorate or before the inspectorate? So when we bring, if we bring in the inspectors into the department, are we not removing a certain oversight role and a checks and balance by bringing it into the department? Yeah. And I mean, if we look back on the BEEE reporting, there's been capacity problems and there's been management problems. And who's now to say with all those existing problems, we're going to incorporate another body into the department to just create maybe more problems? And then also, if we're going to be reducing the amount of days and waiting periods of this tribunal and now incorporating it into the department, will people be losing their jobs? Are we going to be pulling those same people into the department? And my understanding was there's not, you know, there's a capacity problem, and is there budget for it? So that's my few questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'll just answer the few, and then I think Brenda and Jim Sasa can add. Let me start at the end. When we conceptualized, when I say we, because I was there when the Social Assistance Act was written, and so I'll switch and be you, so we swap the chairs. In the portfolio committee, when we drafted the Social Assistance Act, we've always made it very clear that the inspectorate will always be independent chairperson. So even with this amendment, it does not take away the independence. What we are correcting is just a word that says department and directorate, which simply indicates that it won't be a department that will have a DG and stand on its own, but it remains an independent investigative entity. And to the honourable members, the powers and functions, if my memory doesn't fail me, is on Chapter 4 of the Social Assistance Act. It's already there. We put it in the Act, and that section is not being amended at all. So
the principles of the chapter stay the same.
Yes, Chairperson.
Only the institutional alignment that has been changed.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Chapter 4, we're not touching it, so the institution remains intact. The only thing that we are doing is to ensure that it is able to function, because at the moment it's been floating somewhere, because so if that's the only, but Chapter 4 remains untouched. That's the second. Then the other question is the issue around the foster care and what we at that time called the kinship care, which is the grant between the child support grant and the foster care grant, which at the moment, if I'm to do my own calculations, it will be plus minus 650 to 660, Chairperson. That is when we presented it to Cabinet. Cabinet approved it in that at that level. That grant is intended for Gogo and Mkulu, who inherit their grandchildren. So within the Social Assistance Act, the principles of what constitutes this particular act is there. So the chances of it being abused are very narrow, because it's already defined. What was outstanding was the actual activation and implementation. That is why it had a name called kinship care. It's precisely meant for families. You have to have blood relation with that child. It must be within your own bloodline. Whereas foster care is any child from anywhere. So there's a clear difference between the child that will go into that line, and we note the concerns around the issues of children being abused, and we're very conscious of that, because even now with the pensions their parents worked for chairperson, children still get abused. So auntie comes from nowhere and takes all the money, chucks the children out. So we're very conscious of that. But we just want to assist families that want to keep their own and that are struggling. With regards, I won't be able to put a number, and I don't think SASSA nor anything can put a number in terms of the burden that it will reduce. But at the moment, because the foster care was higher, chairperson, is that I'll take my sister's children through the foster care just so I can get some assistance from the state. And with this, at least I'll get assistance without a social work report, without the infringement of the all of that. We are hoping, and obviously until it is implemented, we will not know the impact, because we've not. But we are envisaging that the impact of the queue of children that are waiting in the foster care system to go to court will be reduced. We are not looking forward to not meeting the court deadlines. We stay on the court deadlines, and we continue to meet that, because this one will be a provision, Honorable Masambo, that would be part of the SASSA administration permanently. And the court order that we are sitting with will not necessarily be affected in any way. It is a futuristic. So as soon as the committee passes the bill, depending on how quickly you process the bill, it will, because it is technical amendments and we are amending a principal bill, as soon as the National Assembly passes the bill, the bill will then come into effect 30 days thereafter, because it does not require the whole process of the presidential proclamation and all of that. All it requires is the concurrent functions between social development and treasury. And I want to say, when the chairperson was the deputy minister, the concurrence was sought and was granted. So we do have, yes, so we have the concurrence in terms of the availability of the additional resources. So we have done all the CS agreement, all the approvals. When I took that to cabinet, I had all that. So once it's gone through the National Assembly, it will obviously, it's a Section 75, it will be implemented within 30 days after approval, because it's technical amendments. Thank you, Chair. I just want to give Brenda to add if there's anything.
Could Brenda, you want to add something?
Just on the chip. Yes, Chairperson, just to further explain the question around the reconsideration, what we meant there. Honourable Abrams was a bit concerned about how that's going to work. Let me explain. The current way in which the tribunal operates is that it has, there are doctors, a panel of doctors and a panel of lawyers who come to deal with appeals as and when they occur. So we've just appointed a new tribunal now of the two parties. And then the department acts only as an admin support for them. But the tribunal itself is independent people who hear the challenges. So the court, the caseload for them, we expect it to slightly increase, but then we've also appointed quite a much larger number of tribunal members than we had before, in the anticipation that there is going, in fact, to be perhaps more appeals now that they'll come directly to us and not first start at SASSA. But we are ready with that. We already have the funding for it. We already have a much bigger tribunal to be able to deal with all the cases. There won't be any job losses. The admin system is inside the department, but the tribunal is independent people who get called as and when there are appeals to hear.
Can I make this proposal to you? That what Brenda was explaining, can it be written? What she was explaining on these amendments. in a narrative way. Currently, as the provision stands, it makes difficult the following, and in a narrative, then this is what we're trying to do. I'll tell you why this is important. It improves the intelligibility of the process, and then it makes the committee interact very effectively with those who will be coming for public or to court for hearing and whatever. It makes the committee with confidence to take charge of what to call of the peace. Otherwise, we keep on calling you at night. Can you explain this? When the committee moves, it must not need you. Yes, Madam
Chair, I just wanted to piggyback on that, as I support what you are saying about the narrative presentation of things like what has just been presented now. I can't call people at night, obviously, but the report, the bi-weekly report that we get on foster care, is presented as a PowerPoint presentation, and it does leave the gaps when you read it. And it's not to be presented. It's known that it's just for us to consider. So please, may I ask that we have narrative reports.
A slide is not a narrative as such.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. The second presentation, I was saying to the team, I didn't eat dinner, neither did I eat breakfast, so please pardon my eating in between.
Okay.
I'm just trying to survive. The second presentation is, firstly, myself and the Minister wants to start by sincerely Chairperson apologizing to the committee and the honorable members for sending us back based on the poor quality of the content of what we had brought last week. We want to once again start by presenting our sincere apologies with the hope that our apologies is accepted, and we promise the committee we will strive to do better all the time. We are here to present the responses or the action plan or implementation plan in terms of the issues raised by the Auditor General. So we're hoping that today the committee will indulge us, and we hope that we will be in a better position than we were to actually provide the requisite information, and that the plan of action that has been put in place by the acting DG and the team would be in response. When I say team, it includes the whole family, mother and children, that it would be in line with what the committee would require us. Yes, the whole family, father, mother, and children. And I must say, Chair, thank you to the committee, because the children beat the mothers to it. So the two children presented, and the mother is still struggling. we have found where the challenge is. Sometimes it's putting it on paper where we are not getting it right, but we are actually implementing what needs to be implemented. So we're hoping this time around that we're getting it right. So thank you so much, and once again, our sincerest apologies, Chairperson, to you and to the members of the committee. We'll give over to the acting DG to lead the team.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, DM, honorable members. We here once more to present the action plan to respond to the 2018-19 audit findings, Chair. We'll also do the budgetary review and recommendation report towards the end of the plan. The first one, Chair, is the AG issued two opinions, based on the two key aspects, which was the annual financial statements and performance information. As you are aware, Chair, on the annual financial statements, we got a qualified audit opinion with findings, which was expressed on the audit of annual financial statements. And then with regards to performance information, this was an unqualified audit opinion, which was expressed on the audit performance information. As agreed and as guided, Chair, during our last engagement was that we're supposed to clearly indicate what is the finding. And after that, we say what...
Before you proceed, you need to explain. You see, when you set a particular approach, you come across as committing to complete that approach. Maybe you are killed by your own weapon. But I thought in slide number... Slide just left now.
Yes, number
slide four.
Okay.
You seem to be saying something about the categories that the AG is attending to when doing audit. But there's a category tree that is not there, or maybe there's nothing to be said about it.
I get you, Chair.
That mindset, yeah. Now I want to follow in line of that mindset. You said misstatement number two. Suppose the version is a third category which is not there. Maybe it's not necessary. No, it came with you. Mm. We can't say put it. Maybe there was a reason why you're not.
Okay. Okay. Chair, this part you're correct in terms of the qualified audit opinion. This was based on the fact that we had the AG looked at the money that was moved from our side to SASA and how that amount was accounted for. And they feel that that money was not properly accounted for. Okay.
I'm saying you open by categorizing the areas of work of the AG when they do the auditing. You started by saying express audit or annual statement, or your financial statement, that's one area.
Yes.
You come and say performance, but that's another area. The third area is compliance with the law, but nothing is being said about it. Unless you are dealing with those which were necessary to speak about, and you can tell us why did you choose these two categories and leave the other categories.
Okay, Chair. What we are trying to explain on slide four, Chair, is the first opinion from the audit, from the AG. And the first opinion was about us with regards to audit of the annual financial statements. And the finding there was that we were qualified with regards to that. And, Okay, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We accept your proposal. I just wanted to, I was going to request the same, that we allow the acting DG to finish, but also allow those that are supporting him to add. And once we've added, the committee can engage, and then I'll come at the end to do the to mop up whatever it is that they left out.
Thanks, Chair, and we now on slide 5, Chair. The slide 5 is the following where, in terms of the audit recommendations, that an appropriate action must be taken to ensure that vacancies in key positions are filled within the portfolio. Internal controls over the monitoring of compliance with all applicable legislation, policies, and directives must be strengthened to prevent non-compliance. Then the other one is audit action plans must be implemented and should be monitored quarterly to support financial management and governance. The key risk areas of supply chain management, human resource, and especially information system must be addressed. Now, when we come to finding number one, which is accuracy of social assistance payments. The finding there, Chair, is that included in transfer and subsidies, this is 162.8 billion that relates to transfers to households. Auditor General was unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence that these transfers has been properly accounted for due to the status of the accounting records. This is the finding number one. And the second one there is that the Auditor General was unable to confirm these transfers by alternative means, resulting in an ability to determine whether any adjustments was necessary to the transfer and subsidies stated at 171.7 billion in note 7 of the financial statements. So then, the root cause of the identified shortcomings, which is from the finding number one, is that non-compliance with procedures and policies, inadequate management of SLA with SAPO, inadequate oversight.
Yes.
Sorry, Chair. I know you want us to explain the acronyms. Inadequate oversight over SASA. Management did not effectively safeguard for validity, completeness, and competence. So those were the root cause, Chair. You would find out that this finding is between us and SASA, because the money was moved, and when it came to SASA, when the auditors, the AG, followed that, they realized that there was something that was not done properly. So the action plan to address the finding is that we have the role of SASA first, that we have agreed upon, that list of missing files drawn from the beneficiary record, record management system for regions to conduct beneficiaries and and recreate the file. So that's what they are going to do. They're going to make sure that they verify those contents of the file with the affected beneficiaries. And also, this is a target on the operational plan and is monitored. This is already put in the operational plan. And then also the large amount reports drawn immediately after payment, extraction, and registered to check and sign off to confirm correctness to the large amounts. So there's a category of documents that must be checked so that they make sure that at least those ones that are very obvious are followed up. And then large amount delegation of authorities reviewed to have amounts in excess of 10,000 approved at levels of assistance manager and higher, so that we make sure that there is control around this area. Also, regular reviews reinstated as an operational plan target and implemented as from 1st of April 2019. The last one is social relief. Social relief training to inform all regions about responsibility to ensure that SRP provisions and systems are in sync. This is what SASA is going to do. Then, within that finding, this is what DSD is going to do. DSD is to monitor SASA in terms of its oversight role to ensure that commitments made by SASA are implemented and achieved on an ongoing basis. Payment over 25,000, this is what we're going to do. During the testing of payments greater than 25,000, the following was noted. Sorry, this is finding number two, Chair. I'm mistaken now. No adequate documentation to support changes. Payments not approved. So these are the key things that on the payment over 25,000 was found. And then the second one is on grants limitations, insufficient evidence, application forms not properly completed for disability grants. Grants disagreement, misstatements. On this one is overpayment of old age grants, annual income above the threshold, disease beneficiary paid. So this is also another area of concern by the AG. The second one is social relief and distress fund. The limitation, the supplier file could not be submitted to show that this process or transaction was legitimate. And then the next one is completeness, file not traceable to bus batch payments, so that at least they can see, the AG could not see that. Accuracy of social assistance, again, continued. The third one is inadequate implementation of the SAPO service level agreement. There was an approved service level agreement between SASA and South African Post Office for the payment of social grants. However, the service level agreement did not cover the following, which is IT security requirements, provisions to be audited. So those were the key things that were found out by the AG on finding number two. The next one is grants modification process. The issue here was that it was noted that changes that were made to beneficiary banking details were not approved, although the system would flag the changes as not verified or not approved. The root cause of what is reflected on finding number two is that management did not implement controls over daily and monthly processing and reconciling of transactions. The second one is that management did not implement effective corrective measures for prior error and have collaborating supporting documents so that at least we make sure that we have that information. Management did not review and monitor compliance with Social Assistance Act and regulations. Also, they did not perform calculations before payment for the large amount is made to ensure that correct amount is paid. Also, they did not review the large payment register to ensure that it is accurate. Management did not implement proper record keeping in a timely manner to ensure that complete, relevant and accurate information is accessible and available to support financial and performance reporting. IT security requirements are not covered in the SLA and with SAPO. So that's why there was a poor performance in that area, because it was not in the SLA. No oversight over SASA. SAPO could not submit reconciliation to SASA, and SASA in turn could not submit to DSD. Procedures used with previous service provider, CPS, could not be applied to SAPO. So there was an issue there that when we changed from CPS to SAPO, we did not change the provision, so that at least we know now we're dealing with a completely new and different service provider. Then the actions that are planned to address the findings, Chair, although this finding relates to SASA, it impacted on the audit outcome of DSD due to the funds being allocated to the DSD budget, which is what we spoke about earlier, Chair, that we had a qualified audit. It's a result of what has happened there. DSD to monitor SASA in terms of its oversight role to ensure that commitments made by SASA are implemented and achievable. Joint review of SLA with SAPO will enable DSD to find better mechanism to address all the shortcomings. What has happened, Chair, is that when the SLA was drawn, we did not play a direct role in terms of making sure that we understand what has been agreed between SASA and SAPO, so that we are not found wanting when we're supposed to oversight, as we oversight what we understand. But in this case, we did not plan. Yes. We harvest what we know, Chair, the fruit that we're going to get there. Then the third finding, Chair, is that this is on ISAT minor and major. Prior year disposals not disclosed in the 2017-18 financial statements and not accounted for in the opening balance of minor assets. There were assets without barcodes, Chair, that were found by the AG. Completeness of minor assets in the asset register and the AFS, minor assets under investigation, duplicates and inconsistencies in minor assets under investigation from prior year, including the 2018-2019 asset register. This is what the AG was finding, that even though they were doing 2018-19, they were finding that even with prior years, there was this issue. Then the key root cause.
Bullet number 3 doesn't make sense.
Number 3, Chair, let's see.
What is the finding? It doesn't make sense.
Bullet number 3, Chair, say completeness of minor assets in the asset register and the annual financial statement.
What does that mean? What kind of a finding is that?
Chair. Then?
You want to say something? Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think in this bullet number 3, it basically the minor assets was not verified properly. So when we disclosed in the statement, it was incorrectly disclosed.
Is it the way...
Completeness, yes.
Is that the way
it is? I'm not too sure, Chairperson. But that's how we picked it up from the findings. Should be incomplete.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. There were capacity challenges due to moratorium in filling of vacant posts, which made us not to follow due processes in monitoring and in implementing some of the things that the AG has found in this area. what am I doing now? Okay, then the findings on. Am I here? Ne?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the limitation in the asset management system, Chair. There was an inadequate user account management. Slide 19, yeah. Inadequate user account management controls. Management did not prepare valid, accurate, and complete records that are reported and evidenced by reliable information. And then lack of monthly asset reconciliation. And then the next one is corrective action to address findings on assets. Minister's decision on the moratorium has been rescinded, so we're able now to address the issue of getting more capacity into the system. Post of director has been advertised and will be filled before the financial year. Post of deputy director, asset management, two clerks to be advertised before and end of November 2019. Conduct a comprehensive asset audit so that we understand the extent of the problem. Appointment contract workers to assist with the identification thereof so that at least we make sure that we're not waiting till people are employed because it's going to take us longer. We want to make sure that we have a dent before the end of this financial year. Otherwise, this will take us into the next financial year if we don't move faster. Reconciliation of minor major assets will be done on a monthly basis. Director finance, financial accounting, assisting with asset management. We want to make sure that we enhance the support that is given in this area. Enhancement of asset management system to address the limitations. The department has met with the service provider and configuration of the asset management.
Just a second, did you?
Sorry.
There's nothing wrong. Just a second, just switch off your mic. See, you know, one of the numbers, there's something that always worries me in any meeting. The format seems to have been aligned, no? It's correct. There are findings, there are root causes, there are action plans. Up to number 20. No, findings. It's up to number 22. Am I right? It's up to number 22. 21 is the slide, yeah. My worry is that do members want to follow this? Because what is happening with the DG is reading exactly the way this thing is here. Do you want to listen to this, or do members have questions? My worry is that if we are to follow this approach now, this thing is nicely constructed. I'm looking at the length of reading what is already written here. It would be different if there was an overview of each area in a different way. But what is written here, it seems to be clear to me, right? I'm not sure if members want to follow it up to number 22, reading like this. And I'm just trying to facilitate. But if you want to go that way, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ready. Whatever way.
Chair, I think what you're saying, it makes sense and it will help us. I don't know about other members, but on my behalf, the part I am interested in is mostly the action plans of all these findings. So maybe if we had a summary, because we went through this, we read all of this. So maybe if we can, I don't know if DG would be able to do that for us, to summarize the action plan in its entirety, and then we will be able to interrogate because...
The other thing that could happen is that you mention the area of finding. Without reading the findings as they are, you just go to the action plan in that area. But otherwise, if you have to go to finding, root cause, action... So now you are being mandated. Now you are being mandated now in findings number 2 to go straight to the action plan, which is slide number 20, go to the action plan in each area. I think that's what is being requested. As long as you mention the heading, under the finding area, so these are the action plans.
Thanks, Chair. We are in finding number 4, and the corrective action is about payments were not made within 30 days. This is about that one. Chair, we will here make sure that there's a standard operating procedure and that we have weekly performance follow-ups. We also making sure that there would be an invoice tracking system so that at least we make sure that where the invoice is. We also have to make sure that there's an implementation of a centralized email address, which DSD invoices at DSD, so that at least, because what happens sometimes, the invoice is sent, it's supposed to be sent to supply chain, but then it's sent to the manager who was running that project, and then it gets delayed there because the manager sometimes was not aware that the invoice is sent to it, because the instruction is that send the invoice to supply chain. So there's a delay there. And then also we are updating the capacity in that area that the post has been advertised. Then also there are about 5 cases that I mentioned there, that these are referred to the Loss Control Committee for investigation. Next action plan, Chair, slide 25. Siyakuba, Chair. The next one is on procurement and contract management. The action plan is to address shortcomings on obtaining BEE certificates. I think this is a key problem. We conducted an audit of all payments batches to determine non-compliance and record accordingly from April 2018 to March 2019 as required by the AGS. This is to make sure that the audit for April through November has recommenced. We also want to obtain triple BEE certificates when requesting for quotation. I think this is what also is lacking in the process. Ensure that the formula on the operative sheets to calculate BEE points are captured correctly, because that was also a weakness that we're doing. Ongoing training of staff so that at least they stay updated in terms of the changes in the practice notes. Consequence management for the affected officials that did not adhere to required standards. Matters referred to the loss control, so we want to make sure that this is properly investigated so that if, because sometimes these things are affecting lower staff and the senior managers are getting scot-free. So we want to make sure that who has created this. Yes, Chair, we the senior managers. Slide 27, Chair, we want to change. Slide 27 is finding number C. Yeah. The first one is the department will review and reconcile the relevant policies within with the latest legislation. There's a correction there, it's 2020, not 2019. Develop a policy review schedule so that there's a project plan. Yeah, this is 2020, March 2020, not March 2019, because we've passed that. And then let's go to finding, which is slide 29, supply chain and contract management there. Corrective action, Chair. It's supply chain and contract management. This is slide 30. Yes, Chair. This is about lack of three quotes and non-compliance with the SMS process. The officials with the SMS officials with regards to the implementation and compliance of SMS legislation, there will be training provided to this so that people are updated. I think what we have not been doing, Chair, when there are reviews and or changes in the legislation, there are practice notes that then people are not taken on board, so that at least we keep in line with the latest requirements. One case has been referred to Loss Control Committee for investigation, so that should transgression be found, this will be referred to HRM to institute the necessary inquiry. Then let's go to slide 30, slide 34, Chair. This is a finding, Chair. Oh yes, okay. Thanks, Chair, for my extra eyes. Corrective action to address findings. The finding has been addressed. The department now its procurement has been the practice note number 7 of 2009 to 2010 of the PFMA has been done. Then we have corrective action to address finding, which is supply chain and contract management. Again, the department to adhere to the requirements of the Act by submitting the relevant information to the BBBE Commissioner on an annual basis. I think this is what we have not been doing, Chair. So we have found one thing with regards to that. And then corrective action, which is slide 34, Chair. The supply chain policy has been reviewed now. The department will ensure that from SBD 6.1, which these are the documents that they use to make sure that they implement according to the prescripts, is issued together with the RFQ when requesting quotation from potential service providers to allow for subcontracting. I think this is what we're trying to do there. Case has been referred to Loss Control Committee for investigation. I think there's an issue to be answered here, Chair. And then the next one is slide 35, Chair. corrective action there is issue staff circulars on ethical conduct to all staff on an annual basis to communicate the relevant requirements so that people stay updated in terms of what is expected of them. Insist on upfront declaration at appointment for all employees so that we have clearer declaration from staff. Then 36, there we talk about the appropriate contract management controls will be tightened with immediate effect. Here there was also a case to be answered, so this was also referred. Then slide number 37, Chair. This is about non-compliance with National Treasury Instruction Notes. Action plans to address this finding is that the department has put measures in place to enable it to perform this function without depending on CETA. So I think there was a dependency there, so we're removing that dependency on CETA so that when these things are happening, we're able to address us on our own. Slide number 38, action plan to address finding here, which is deviation not consistent with National Treasury approval. Here we're saying management will verify all transactions for completeness and validity. There's a case here also to be answered, Chair, it's being investigated. Then slide number 39, consequence management limitation on finding. The action here is that the finding was that there was no written warning letter. Sorry, the written warning letter was not issued. That's the issue here. And then what we're saying that the warning letter will be issued when the official returns from incapacity leave. The person is sick currently, and this is the period, so we're not able to issue that letter. Then consequence management, also recovery not requested within 30 days. The issue is that the action plan is, this is slide 40, review of the internal process of both the recovery of funds and discipline of the officials. The officials has been traced to another department, Chair. So Siamlanda, the outcome letter was sent to the official via electronic mail and also to the department where the official is employed for implementation. That's what we're doing there. Inventory management, Chair, which is finding number 19, the action plan there, which is slide 41, we would ensure development of an inventory management tool to avoid a recurrence of the problem. This is to be implemented by end of November 2019, so that the tool will be developed. DSD will monitor the implementation by SASA. I think this is what happens, Chair, when assets are being given out, maybe it's bags, so the bags that are remaining, they are not in the inventory, they are just in jail. Now we have figured, Chair, we have started.
That's an example.
It's an example, Chair. Then the next one, Chair, is slide number 43. It's about inconsistency between fixed asset register and final statements. The action here is that management shall ensure due process are followed to future in future when compiling the financial statements. I think there was an issue here that we did not do it properly. Lack of quality control of financial statements, conduct a comprehensive asset audit, appointment contract workers to assist with the identification thereof so that at least we don't wait. Reconciliation of minor major assets will be done on a monthly basis. Can you note that one? Then? Can you note the bullet two so that we can respond to it? Yeah. Yeah, you're right, sir. You're right. I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, better. Then finding 21 prepayment and advances. The action here, Chair, is that authorized expenditure included in the SOGPEN advances. And DSD and SASA to request advice from National Treasury for guidance to process the transaction correctly. We're still not sure, Chair, how to properly do that, so we're asking guidance from Treasury. It's the unauthorized expenditure included in the SOGPEN advances. Slide 45, Chair. Slide 45. Yours is 44. Hey, there's something wrong. It's an... Yes. Chair, no, it's an action plan to address or... Yes, unauthorized expenditure included in the SOGPEN.
Authorization of expenditure is a treasury function. Am I correct?
Yes.
Once AG has got an unauthorized finding, once information is proper, needed resubmission to treasury, it's only treasury that has got authority to authorize.
Yes. So that's the letter we're brought.
Is to facilitate that process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then slide 47. It's on ICT governance, Chair. The action here is the funds are now available to implement the 10-key solution. We had an arrangement or an MOU with or SLA with CETA, and this has not worked, Chair. So we had to ask CETA to give us all of those contracts because it was like they, when we submitted to them, then they asked for service providers, and then they were playing an in-between thing, and it was delaying us, and we were found wanting in terms of this finding. So we had to make sure that we asked them to say, give us the contracts, cede the contracts to us so that we can work directly with the service providers. So that's what we've done. There is an ICT implementation plan currently in place, so we have to make sure that we have a plan in terms of how these things are going to be done. The firewall will be implemented by the end of the financial year, which is by March, so it would have done that because that was also another finding. Then with regards to slide 49, which is on human resource management, Chair, this is a repetitive of the other one that we said that there are no people that are employed, so we now have rescinded, the minister has rescinded the moratorium, and that we have advertised for the post. The challenge, though, Chair, that we have here, we had about 116 unfunded posts because the money was now taken over by Treasury. So we no more having the post that we thought we could fill. We have less post and less budget. So currently we have 28 million and then Treasury has already taken 10, so we're left with 18, so we've got money to fill 18 posts, and it's causing serious, yeah. So those are the...
It's not the number, you count.
Yes.
It's the type of people you are putting in.
Thanks, Shane. Members, it's about quality, not quantity. I say Namdiafo. The next one, Chair, is slide 51, which is finding 24, non-compliance with 2A standard 1312, which is about internal audit. The action plan to address finding on non-compliance there is that a director internal audit has been appointed, procure internal audit automated software, namely Teammate, it's called Teammate, that will effectively and efficiently play a pivotal role in internal audit activities, so that at least, because we don't have enough capacity to deal with everything, so this will make sure that we deal with these other outstanding matters. Then finding 25, high vacancy rate, Chair, internal audit, yeah. So the post has been advertised, Chair, also here. Then the recommendation is recommended that the Portfolio Committee on Social Development note this presentation, Chair, the action plan on the... Yeah. So we're done with that, Chair. The one is on service. The one is on service delivery. The recommendation there is recommendation number one. The minister must ensure that we will progress. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair. I thought I was reminding you about your recommendation. The projections on the number of social grants beneficiaries are done in conjunction with National Treasury. The methodology used allows a 5% margin of error. Then the next one, which is recommendation number two, the progress there, Chair, is still on service delivery. The department is closely monitoring the construction of the substance abuse center in the Free State. The province has recently appointed a new contractor due to poor workmanship of the initial contractor, so we've replaced the previous contractor. The overall progress on site is 85%, and the center is planned to be completed by March 2020. It's 9, UTM, it is 9.
What is concerned, this thing of poor workmanship of the contractor? There's always a lot of mischief behind it. Because when the supply chain complete a tender, goes to the line function to implement. The duty of the line function is to monitor on regular basis before a big damage is caused. There are two possibilities here. It's either nothing, there was no monitoring at all, or the most common one, it was deliberately meant to be a bad work. You see, when I was a mayor somewhere, I can't remember where. I used to sit with managers when it was clear that the system is blocked. I used to call the MMC for finance, let's speak with the supply chain. We have issues. You go back to the line function, the HOD says, the reason this thing has not been implemented, we can't agree with the service provider. But the supply chain has approved, not for your agreement. This is where a lot of stuff happens. The rest is just this thing that were done, really suspense. Let's proceed.
Thank you, Chair. The next one, Chair, is recommendation three. It's about no community-based organization was appointed as yet. However, the National Department continues to support the province to be able to provide the much-needed service while completing the center. there are various organizations available in the province that can play.
Well, I want to say, members, every 2 hours, it should be more than one day to check, to go and check this poor
workman.
Poor workman.
That's a long selection.
Because you might find that there was no work at all. There's nothing poor. There is no work. There's nothing poor. Proceed.
This requires the province to identify and appoint one of them to provide, this is slide 57, sorry. Yeah. The province has operationalized substance abuse halfway house in Clarence as part of its effort to fight substance abuse. On expenditure, Chair, the progress there is the department has developed the entity oversight framework. Entity oversight has been prioritized in the annual performance plan for 2019-20. the framework allows the department to improve its oversight responsibilities. We also, Chair, plans are underway to elevate the quality, the quarterly social assistance service delivery assurance committee to perform the oversight functions over SASA pending the processing of the social assistance amendment bill to establish the inspectorate for social assistance as a government component and the finalization of the review of the SASA Act to address the governance weaknesses in that legislation. Furthermore, the department will conduct a forensic audit of the expenditure of social relief of distress. This is what we are starting to do through the internal audit. And then on expenditure again, which is recommendation number 2, it's about the procurement of goods from suppliers who meet prescribed minimum threshold for local production and content was also raised by the Auditor General of South Africa. In their report issued in July 2018, the department has since ensured that it procures goods from suppliers who meet prescribed minimum threshold for local production and content. Chair, we are really found wanting on this one. We're trying to make sure that, I mean, recently also Minister raised serious concern about how we're doing this so that we make sure that there's local content in what we are procuring. The next one also on expenditure, I say the projections on the number of social grants beneficiaries are done in conjunction with National Treasury. I think I've mentioned this one. Recommendation number 4, recommendations were implemented and as a result, no vermont were done in 2018-19. This is what the scope of founders wanting. Recommendation number 5, the progress here, Chair, is that we have escalated into a conditional grant and its implementation is closely monitored on quarterly basis. All 566 social workers were appointed using the conditional grant. The National Treasury agreed to earmark the funds once they are transferred to equitable share next financial year. We're going to make sure that this area is taken over directly by provinces, so that it continues to be used for the purposes it is intended for. We need to closely monitor that because provinces can just take the money and use it somewhere else. On governance, Chair, the department has developed the entity oversight framework. This is what I've mentioned earlier on. Then recommendation number 2 on governance is that the department has in place mechanism to deal with irregular, unauthorized, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The Loss Control Committee has been established to deal with all reported cases of financial misconduct and the consequences thereof. Chair, that's the end of my report, and I thank you.
Huge improvement from what we dismissed. The only glaring omissions there is time frames. Zero across the board. Those beautiful things, they just need flowers. They just need flowers. Flowers is a time frame. Just put a flower now. You go to, SASA has no time frames. It's only NDA. SASA had time frames, no. But not as detailed as in NDA. Here there's no time frame at all. Niyakuba nje, ningayo mabontana ngoko. But the package it has greatly improved. Something I suspect the committee will live with. But the key question is, see, if you look at the what the committee has put up, the fight the committee has put up, it has produced useful documents for further oversight by the committee. Now you know, if you go to Free State, you've got this document. You know what to look for when you're in Free State. When you go to Tswana, you know what to look for. When something is clear, the area of intervention is articulated, the intention and the manner of intervention is articulated, except in GSD, we miss the time frame. And they are essential. They must be put tonight. Sure, no, 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 no. What do they even say? Shall we eat? Shall we eat? Why are we what does that mean? All I'm saying is that the package has been improved. I don't want to use the word dramatic. But what is critically missing are flowers, time frames.
Yes.
Because we want to know what is done by when. So that it is not done or able to do something about it. Honorable members, there is your staff. Honorable Masango, Honorable Ngwenya, going, gone. Can you see when things are clear? They have two hands. Are you aware?
I'm helping you to help. You go ahead. And you say, well, you're
thanks, sir.
Yes, Chair. No, there won't be hands in future. I just share one in thanking the department for this presentation. I just am concerned by the picture. It is the clearer the presentation, the more worrisome the picture is. Because when you see a root cause that has got 8 bullet points and all of them are saying management didn't do this, management didn't do this, you wonder what management did. And then, exactly. And also these things are things that to a person who doesn't know what is going on in government like myself, I would think these are things that should be the work that managers are doing. So you have a situation, Chair, where managers, where the moratorium did not reach, management was not doing anything, and where there was no where the moratorium was applied, there's also the root causes are like there were no people, but you wonder if the people were there were going to do what they were supposed to do. It's such a scary picture, Chair. I mean, there's something that talks about the standard operating procedure is going to be drawn. Well, why was it not there? Like, I'm just so scared. But exactly. I know, it's just so scary. You don't know how to feel because this is such a nicely done presentation, but it's scary. Oh, thank you, Chair.
I think Mama Sang has covered me in most things because that's the comment. It's not questions clearly that I want to make, it's just comment. But what I would like to request is that I'm very interested in the all these cases that are taken to HR and loss control committees that I'm hoping that we'll soon get the verdict and the sanctions to those cases finally to know what has happened and what should be done after that. But basically, I share the same sentiments, no Mama Sang, it's very scary. But also, what I would like to say is that at least now, we have action plans. So let's give it time, see what happens. Aliboli, alingo mafut. Go.
Aimakura. Oh, okay. I remember my prime minister, my premier. Listen, what is key here, what I remember, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you dictate intelligible information, you have the truth to deal with. But when you allow the woolly stuff to come, the first thing that is going to stress you forever, every annual, every end of the year, you know you ended something, but you cannot explain what is it. That is the worst stress. We don't know some of the diseases we get from here. From endorsing things that are not clear, that are woolly, we don't know what you are doing. And you are going to see the more intelligible the reports are, the more effective the oversight is going to be, the more the department is going to benefit. Because if you don't tell us the honest information, we don't know what to critique. And when you are not critic, you are comfortable. You go to Chibana and have fun and only realize that you didn't do your work. So this, to me, we're getting close to one another, the committee and the department, so that we can talk sense between ourselves. We are done on these items. Can you see how quick now? But if it's not clear, we're going to stay in one paragraph for 5 hours trying to explain. Now, what is left here is that, remember, on the bill, we need that nice narrative of what is the problem statement, what are we in the, why, how are you going to resolve it through your intervention? That narrative is required. On the recommendations, time frames, both AG and BRRR, otherwise the package now, TM, I can see you guys didn't sleep. This is a sign of well. Some people say they don't sleep, but they don't know why they sleep. So they would have better sleep so that they can come and explain their nonsense. Next item. Sure. All right. I am being advised to thank the department for this seemingly evolving positive cooperation. Because it's only through this cooperation that it will translate in the situation of our people in Ranfan and in Shaki. Yeah, I know. I knew I was going to respond on this one. In Soshiko and in I'm forgetting something somewhere. So yeah, sure. So Diam, thank you for this demonstrable intention to do work, and we want to raise you. We are very grateful. Thank you very much. Now we are doing our internal staff. So internal staff doesn't mean we are firing people. There are no confidentialities here. This is a public meeting.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair, for having us. We will send the narrative report. We will also add the time frame. But I just wanted to give the committee comfort on two things. Half the time when you don't see me here is because I am the fire extinguisher. Thank you. So I can confirm that the treatment center in the Free State will be operational on the 1st of February. So it's done, and I can confirm that the halfway house in Clarence will be operational on the 5th of January. So all our infrastructure programs are on track, Chair. I have been to each and every one of them, and we are catching up. So we've agreed with the minister we'll bring a infrastructure presentation only where you can see everything that we are building. But we are actually even launching a handing over. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.